With his laughing eyes, deeply furrowed skin, and unruly white beard, the poet Gary Snyder looks every bit the wizened sage as he reads an excerpt from his translation of a poem by Han Shan. This Chinese poet, whom Snyder affectionately calls a mountain madman, lived over 1,100 years ago in a cave deep in the wilderness.
The path to Han Shan's place is laughable. A path, but no sign of cart or horse. Converging gorges, hard to trace their twists. Jumbled cliffs, unbelievably rugged. A thousand grasses bend with dew. A hill of pines hums in the wind. And now I've lost the shortcut home. Body asking shadow, how do you keep up?
Like Han Shan, Snyder says he has gained personal and spiritual insights from his experiences in nature. He is intimately familiar with the wild landscapes of Japan, where he lived and studied Zen Buddhism as a young man, and he knows the winding trails of California's Sierra Nevada mountain range, his home for many years.
You know, a trail is really a handy thing. It's a lot easier to hike on a trail than it is to crash through the brush. And you get from place A to place B that way. But in earlier times, before village agriculture, people went into the woods and the fields and the marshes to gather the various things they needed. You want to dye something, you go into the woods and marshes to look for the dye plants. Poison oak is a very good black dye. If you want berries, you go where the berry patches are. And of course, if you're going fishing or hunting, you know where to go to a marsh, a lake, a stream. So the trail is only useful to get you to where you're going to leave the trail. But what you really want is not on the trail most of the time. You have to go off the trail and go looking for it. That's true in life, too.
In this reading from his poem, Off the Trail, Snyder recalls hiking with his late wife, Carol, and the pleasures of a trackless wilderness.
We are free to find our own way. Over rocks, through the trees, where there are no trails. The ridge and the forest present themselves to our eyes and feet, which decide for themselves, in their old learned wisdom of doing, where the wild will take us.
Snyder says there is also a unique fellowship between humans and nature that is embodied in one's home place.
And it can be developed even in Manhattan, by paying attention to where you are, what the elevation is where you are, what the rock outcroppings might be, what birds stop there when they're migrating, if any. And people like myself, who are watershed bioregionalists, were particularly interested in where the original streams were, and can we find them again, and maybe daylight some of them.
Daylighting refers to efforts by some urban environmental planners to identify natural streams that have been diverted or paved over and restore them to their original state. Snyder says concerns about the natural environment are especially keen in California, where farmers depend on melting snowpack each spring to irrigate their fields.
And if global warming causes less snow to fall and to melt faster, and turn it into just rain so it runs off in the winter, that'll be the end of California agriculture. There were periods in the past where that was the way it was anyway.
Despite his concern about the enormous damage humans have done to the environment over the years, Snyder is hopeful such practices are changing, and he's confident, too, in the power and resilience of nature.
We can say two things at the same time. We can say we really have to work on improving our style here, and clean up our act, and if we don't, we'll maybe be in very bad trouble, and also cause a lot of trouble for other beings. But then you can also say, given the longer cycles of planetary change, nature always bats last. We can hope that that really will continue to be the case.
Snyder, who was born in 1930, says he has a few more books to write, including a Buddhist memoir, before, as he puts it, he packs it away, drinks red wine, and watches the sunset. With the poet Gary Snyder, I'm Adam Phillips reporting.